In this week's episode, we discussed trusting your Uncle Elon, how not to let your daughter make an OnlyFans, and how to do less better.
No, that's enough.
Welcome to episode 51 of the Freestyle DJ Podcast.
Is that the intro music now?
We could save
I
that.
Think it is.
We don't have intro music.
Did we not have an intro?
We did, where I could be asked.
I've got music. My rights. Remember Mark?
No.
Mark Angel.
He gave it for my YouTube channel years ago, and I used it. It's mine, so I can do whatever I want. It's decent.
I can't remember.
It's the trap.
Right, I tell you what, we'll put it on. I'll put it on this episode.
There you go. I'll send you.
So you need to send me it.
Do I send it? It's in the WhatsApp.
Is it?
Aye, but I'll send it again for you.
That's class. How are we, Troops?
Good.
I love when we ad hoc it like that. Is that the right word? I don't know.
Sounds good.
I'll take that.
You'll take that ad hoc.
Ethan Hawk. Ad hoc.
Oh no. How we doing?
I'm good. Yeah. How about you, Evan?
I'm fabulous. I went to Short Long Black. I met a client for a walk. And I had
Did you just walk in a coffee shop? Did you go?
We went a wee stoat round Queen's Park.
Can you sit in there?
Can you?
No.
It's too hipster.
It's like...
Oh, Short Long Black on Govan Hill?
Vicky Road.
Fucking... They haven't done Hill, man.
Aye.
Last two coffees I've had.
Coffee wasn't amazing.
I'm not minded the coffee. Pastries are good.
I had an almond bear claw.
It's
like a claw.
Yeah.
Almond or...
Nice.
Apple in it, sensational.
Calories.
Well, training the night, isn't it?
Yeah.
And for the world, just in case you're wondering, Jordan has been to rugby several times since he said in the podcast they get called out and he went, no, he's been. So well done. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Are you happy to have me back?
Do you know what? Actually, I am.
Are you?
Yeah, aye. He's annoyingly decent.
Because he's the only man that's got fucking fitness in the team.
He's wee tiny feet. Is that?
I'm 9 feet. They're not tiny.
Annoyingly decent.
You don't lose it.
I know.
But do you know what you do lose? The ability to. What is it? Maybe your response to the adaptation that you're putting on your body.
Oh.
So like my knees and ankles are like still now. Kind of achy and sore. And I didn't even train last Thursday.
That was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and I'm still a bit like, oh, like, see, just the, for 5 years, all I've done is things straight forward, backwards, up, down. That's it. And like, lift things. So, like, you can do all the fitness you want, like you were just saying, but it doesn't prepare you for breathing in my hoop, man.
Lateral movement.
Different, isn't it?
It's so different. And then again, match fitness will be even more different.
Seeing you look at tennis, obviously women has just finished, and you think about the fucking twists and turns
it's
and
agility, man, man. It's just all
the one up people end up with fucking hip problems, knee problems, all the rest of it, Andy Murray.
Yeah.
Being a prime example.
Aye, he's shite these days. I don't know if he's fucking injury, he can do it, he can injury. Win Wimbledon. No, he
come
can't.
On, Andy.
Come
fuck
on, Andy.
Up.
Get fucked. Let's get somebody else in the fucking mix, man. Why is the UK only ever produce just one tennis player?
Tim Henman.
No,
and
that's what I'm
Murray.
Saying. So it's Tim Henman. It's probably
one at a time.
One quality. At a time. And then Andy Murray comes up. Him. And then now he's fucked.
I couldn't even tell you who another UK tennis player is there.
That's gives a fuck.
Andy Murray's brother.
It's a shite sport.
No.
Tennis?
I disagree. Tennis is a class
man.
Sport.
You're wrong.
Tennis is a class love sport. It. I actually want to get Hattie into tennis.
Mate.
So I do as like as one of the sports that she'll come
as
up
a
with.
Project Mathy
last weekend. What was I saying?
Were you saying?
I was saying you. I was saying.
Oh yeah,
tennis
for my child.
Yes,
for my child. We're closer to a name. By the way, I'm not going to announce on the
is
podcast.
It's Tim.
It's Serena. Because I'm having a girl. Serena Middleton. Right, she's going to be fucking class.
That goes. But no, because see when you think about it, right? Oh, I might get some heat for this. Fuck it. When you think of women's sports,
oh no,
what is the as a female the most potentially lucrative sport for a top flight or mid flight female?
Tennis, probably.
It's tennis and probably golf as well.
Golf, yep.
Yeah,
shouldn't it be F1? I think they've kind of.
Is that right?
Aye.
Yeah, and obviously
so popular,
like a jockey as well. Aye. Horse riding because women can actually compete with the men in that
that's
sort of
right.
Sector. Oh, yeah. So when you look
and
at
actually probably arguably well,
the one she won.
So like when you look at women's sport, tennis is up there with probably the one. I mean, it's actually like women get paid the same as men in tennis because it attracts the same eyeballs. Who knows why?
Some stars in UFC, Nunes maybe was probably getting.
Rousey was actually the top paid athlete in UFC at the height of her
career.
At the height of her career, and it's funny actually. There's an interview with her, and. So she's fighting in Australia, I believe, and there's Australian. She's like, oh, the whatever the Australian women's football team are called,
Soccerettes,
or the women Wallabies, whatever the hell they're called, right?
Is that not Soccer AM? You'd get a Soccerette.
Thanks, so
I don't know, man.
Because it's the Socceroos.
It's the Socceroos, yeah.
That's the males team.
Maybe it's the Socceroos.
No, continue.
Google it. But so she goes at that to Ronda Rousey. It's like, the women are playing football over here and they're grossly underpaid in comparison to the men. What's your thoughts on that? And she went, the reason why I'm paid the most is because I bring the most eyeballs. It's got nothing to do with being male or female. And that's coming from a woman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Saying like, no, I'm getting paid more because you're all watching me. I am the headline show. None of the guys are. It's me.
Yeah.
So, and I was like,
Is it though? Look at like Nunes, look at even fucking Molly McCann, who does, man.
She's a fucking clown.
But,
overrated.
Barstool Sports, you know what I mean? Because she's a bit of a kind of
eyeballs are
figure.
On her.
Eyeballs are on her.
Whether
Barstool
it's negative or positive, eyeballs
exactly.
are on her.
Yeah, this is, you're paid or directly in relation to your market reach, I suppose, if that makes sense.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So if there's hundreds of folk wanting to watch the guy's sport in relation to women's sport, they'll get paid more. It's got more. Power in the market.
Do you know there is a gender pay gap, but there's gender pay gaps for women too in terms of men. Like, so there's men get paid significantly less than women in certain fields, like OnlyFans or porn or modelling potentially.
This is true.
Who talks about the pay gap there? If we started an OnlyFans, right, we're three attractive guys, we look after ourselves, right? I'd like to think so. Right, I'm probably about like a 6 or 7.
I'd be like the chonky niche.
See if you
people are like a fat
you? Right,
like
you'll get 6 or 7s creating OnlyFans, and they'll make more money than me do. Facts.
Here, fucking 3s could make more money than me. It just depends what you're going to do.
It's disgusting.
it depends what you're going to do.
So, anyway, that's...
You're going to make create a big banner on...
Yeah, I'm going to campaign for men, equal pay for men.
Anyway. Nobody want to see that.
And for those who are a little bit soft in the audience, things I'm saying here are tongue-in-cheek. I am also semi-serious, but anyway. What were you here to talk about?
I don't know. Good question, man. I seen something today. For somebody I was actually following their stuff and liking a lot of it, right? And then I seen this video and I just don't know how I feel about it, man. Well, show you it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. So the guy's called Andy Elliott. You know Andy Elliott? You see him, bald guy, shaves his head. He's maybe property in a salesman or something like that. Anyway,
I have seen this guy. Right. The dead aggressive sales guy.
Dead aggressive, right? This is
take your shirt off.
This is one of his students.
Put it in front of the mic.
Take your shirt off, Garrett. Okay, now hold on. Now Garrett's a killer. Am I right? Garrett, how old are you?
29.
Garrett, does this bother you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, doesn't bother you enough. Because if it did, you wouldn't have it. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
I mean it. Now, come on, put your shirt down. We don't need this. You don't need this. You got kids?
Yes, sir. 2 sons.
Okay. This is the last time I want you to take your shirt off in front of a group of people and not be in the shape you want your children to be in.
What Andy did for me is he kept me accountable, and he told me that I wasn't being my best self. And there's people in this world that can look at that and they can say, wow, he shouldn't do that to him. This is crazy.
He's being mean.
Or you could use that as a resource and you could tap into that limitless potential that you have inside of you.
Limitless.
And you could become a fucking animal. Our business has 20X last month.
Right.
So is he a businessman or is he what?
He's like a mad sales guru, isn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Mentor, business mentor,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Thoughts on that?
I'm a bit like, I don't really have a huge amount of thoughts on it. I'm just like, I don't really understand the point of it. Is he trying to shame him because he's out of shape?
He looks in better shape than me, the guy. He looks fucking jacked.
He's like trailer park strong.
He's trailer park strong.
Looks jacked, right? So by no means I would say that guy's in bad fucking shape at all, man.
Like,
he's basically, the full stick is like, if you're not lean and shredded, you're fucking like, people are going to judge you. Like your kids aren't going to respect you the same. Like people aren't going to respect you the same in business. Oh, that's his full fucking. It's like to shame the guy by saying, look how fucking shit you look. Take your tap off. Do you want to feel like that again?
I'm in two minds.
Hit me with it.
I'm in two minds. He was potentially a bad was he though?
Aye.
It was almost a bit.
He is a bad example because the guy's not in bad shit at all. Well,
let's zoom out a wee bit. The concept of itself, and that's like the total. Have you ever seen the clip? And it's very ironic that we're on here. It doesn't really apply to me, it applies to you. But have you ever seen the clip of the people doing the techno thing? So they'll take like a stupid podcast clip and go, just another white guy with a podcast. And then there's like a wee song.
I've not seen that, but
I need to find it. But basically it's like, it reminds me of that, but it's like, you see all this fucking.
It doesn't apply to me.
But you see the, where's I going with that? Seeing like in all of our social medias, and I will be like, it's like hustle porn.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, fucking grind, hustle. I shared the thing the other day, right? And it was like, I get up at 4 a.m., listen to a book on double speed, me and my wife on the treadmill at 4:20. I'm doing my meditations, and it's like, get fucked, mate. See, in real life, people hit the snooze alarm until the very last minute and then argue about who's getting their kids up. That's what real life is.
I saw that.
Do you know what I mean? That's real life. That is like some sort of fake hustle fugazi. Do you know what I mean?
But see, if you had enough money, would you not be more like that? See, so the reason that a lot of people that maybe can't do that is because they don't have the ability to do that. They don't have the financial freedom to for their life to be like that. Do you know what I mean?
You don't need financial freedom to get up at 4 a.m.
No, you don't. Not at all. But
do you know what I mean?
All these people that are doing it, seeing the videos and stuff, they're a big fucking house. They've all got good jobs.
They do.
Do you know what I mean? It's not somebody that works
that
in fucking Tesco.
That guy's a millionaire.
Tesco.
Yeah, he is a millionaire.
They're saying, I get up at 4 a.m. You definitely don't if you work in Tesco.
Yeah.
Unless you've got a 4 a.m. shift. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, mate. I've got clients who like on the day like things are fucking up at 5, smashing the mornings.
Are they aligning their chakras though?
No, but they're like being, because I think the full thing, like, I think it's just as damaging as feel like, I get fucking up, I just fucking drink a coffee and I just attack and smash my day. And then people see that as well and they're like, oh fucking hell, maybe I shouldn't be doing anything else. Maybe I should just be getting up and fucking getting started right away and getting on my phone and getting on my laptop. I think there's a balance, man. You need to be somewhere in the middle.
I don't think that. Because I think that for some people, the getting up at 4 a.m. and listening to a book on double speed will work. Mm-hmm. And I think that the getting up and having a nice, slow start to the morning will also work. Mm-hmm. So it just depends on the person, doesn't it? But anyway, bringing it back to
him,
this video, that's his style, right? So if we think back to like our niches and things, the people that we coach, a client that goes to Evan isn't potentially going to come to me. Different styles.
Mm-hmm.
He's a sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sales guys' styles, they may be some be more maybe more empathetic and ethical potentially, and some may be more harsh, cutthroat, fucking
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Wolf of Wall Street type stuff. So I can see why that would work in his niche, because he's got guys that want that. They want the fucking 4 a.m. hustle mentality, all that fucking bullshit. They want that. He's the perfect guy for it because he lives and breathes it, like we fucking spoke about last week. Mm-hmm. Like living and breathing your fucking your brand and stuff like that. It's a bit weird. I'm a bit like, I feel like Evan, I'm a bit like, I mean, it's a bit odd, but he maybe potentially used a bit of a wrong candidate because the guy was like kind of in shape just because he didn't have a six pack.
I know.
Suppose if he picked a fat fuck, then Definitely, maybe. I think that is potentially fair because David Goggins has said it as well. And he was like, yeah, people call you fat. People call you lazy. Well, maybe you are fat. Maybe you are lazy. Maybe you do need to be told that. And I'm kind of in that camp.
People get offended about the truth.
Yeah.
Like 100% of the time.
You can't handle the truth.
I don't mind saying something if it's the truth.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? See, as long as it's the truth and it's not as bad, it's not biased, or it's not like coming from a bad place.
Coming from a bad place.
Coming from a bad place. See, someone chonky.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like if you get your feelings hurt, like that's.
I don't know if I've called somebody chonky before. I have a hard time.
I probably do lead my wee brother.
I mean, just maybe my mates and that, obviously, fucking ripping people. But
my mates would call me fat as fuck.
Do you remember Ali G, man? Hey, fatty bull. I used to slag all my mates.
Remember
that.
The other one? Belly's gonna get you.
Aye. Remember that? The big belly was chasing you.
Shit, like that was class.
Brilliant.
Aye.
But here's another thing as well, and it's like, say, like one of your mates has started to like drop their standards or slip a little bit or like put on a little bit of extra, a little bit extra beef. Like, see, a good pal should call that out. Man, listen, mate, you're going a little bit. I said it to my cousin, right? My cousin Lewis, he was turning 30, and before he turned 30, I went at him. I was like, mate, I was like, do you plan on getting bigger or smaller by the time you're 30? As I'm like, fat wise. And he was like, do you mean? And I was like,
well, do you mean?
I was like, well, you're trending in one direction. I was like, come on, in the gym next week, next Monday, 6 a.m., let's go. He was like, cool, mm-hmm. fine. Right, and then he did that push, and that was him. First time training, he's been in, he comes every single week, he's been, like, he's sticking to it. Because, like, you need called out. Because at the end of the day, if you've got someone's best interest well, at heart, and you're not coming from a bad place.
Correct. I think family and mates, it's like, you can definitely just...
Oh, yeah.
It's like, fucking, that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah.
But the more honest you are, the obviously, the more you love them, almost. Like, it's like...
But bringing up a random person on stage, man, take a tapa.
That's what... That, sorry. Take a tapa, man. Fucking... But that was kind of where I was like, fucking hell, mate. Like, I get it, but... Because you can say it definitely, mate, it's not realistic. But that was just a wee bit like, that's your client. He's not exactly in bad shape anyway, so it was like, what are you expecting from people? You're clearly on the gear.
But what's that guy's standard? Has he lived his life shredded? And then he's got a little bit bigger? And then he's
don't
like,
know, maybe he keeps saying he wants six-pack abs. Maybe he's said that to him and he's not got it because maybe last 6 months he's been slacking. Don't know. I don't know the full context. It's not shown the full context.
It's a bit of a wrong message because right before you cut off the video, he was like, yeah, in our business, 20x the past month.
Aye.
And it's like, what? So if somebody starts eating fucking lettuce and apples, that they're going to immediately 20x their business?
Nah, this is the full idea.
You've never done it wrong. Fuck's sake.
Wait a minute, so if I don't focus on marketing, sales and delivery,
and
I just
fucking focus
shredded,
myself, shout affirmations in the mirror.
Lettuce. Hunters of lettuce.
Hunters of lettuce. Aye, that's a bit of a weird one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, aye. So
what's been happening in the world? A few things.
Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Has rebranded
Twitter. Where's that?
To X.
X now.
Oh, X. I thought you meant that.
I thought we're Xing now. Did you read my X?
Yeah, I've noticed it's what? Not when you tweet something, it's repost. I've noticed that as well. Sorry, go on.
It's just fucking annoying, right? Because apart from anything, right, apart from we can chat about the reasons and all that sort of stuff, I keep looking for the wee bird in my phone. Mm. See what I'm trying to... Like, I'm not even a massive tweeter, but that's like my Google.
You don't need to say that.
What?
Tweeter.
I'm not a massive tweeter.
I'm not a massive tweeter.
Fuck off.
You're a massive tweeter.
Can I say that?
I can't say
anyway,
that.
Go on. Carry on.
I can't fucking find it because it's an X.
Yeah.
I think the branding's shite as well. I think it looks terrible.
Can I see it? I'm leaving on.
I think it looks quite cool. I quite like it.
Nah. But it looks, you know, like a fucking dating app.
So obviously, Danny, you know a wee bit more as to why he's turning into it.
Oh, it looks pretty cool.
But the one thing about it that I quite like is that when Elon Musk created PayPal, it was originally called X.com. And then it changed to PayPal. And then... he bought X.com back from PayPal was like I want to just like keep it as like a
memento
good sort word. Of thing. And then obviously now he's thingied over Twitter. Mm-hmm. And now he's changed it to X.com.
Is one of his kids not called X?
No, it's called like Alpha Beta Gamma or something like that. It's a pure stupid name.
Oh, mate, all his kids are named fucking
aye. But
types of threes. Would
tell you, you know the reasons.
So basically he's want to turn it into the kind of one and only main payment platform across all everything. I know that he's in hoots with two types of cryptocurrencies and that he's trying to like make, I guess his idea is make them the main ones that push for that. So he's trying to supposedly turn into some form of kind of payment platform.
Aye, he says he wants to make it one of the biggest, if not the biggest payment platform. And here's the thing, right? Here's the thing about
Uncle. Do you think he's got the power to do it?
Here's the thing about Uncle Elon. Can he doubt Uncle Elon? Whatever Uncle Elon says he's going to do, he does. Whether people like it, don't like it, whether it's good, bad, different conversation. Mm-hmm. But wanted to create PayPal, done it, got bought out, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
He created PayPal. Right. Yeah.
What the
fuck? Did not know that.
Aye. I don't know if Tesla was next. Like, oh, electric cars never work, blah, blah, blah. Tesla's everywhere.
Uncle Elon.
SpaceX.
Uncle Elon.
The underground tunnel thing in LA.
Uncle Elon.
Like, flamethrowers.
Uncle Elon.
Twitter.
X.
Right?
Electric gas. Like
Starlink, or every single thing that he said he's going to do, he's done, right? And whether it be not successful now, it ends up over time being successful. So if he says, I'm going to create the biggest payment platform in the world, I'm going to be like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Here, I'm going to put my chips in that basket and I'll bet on you doing that. Mm-hmm. Because he's delivered too many times to bet against. Yet all the mainstream media will say, it's going to fail, it's going to fucking suck, and blah, 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 blah. And like, you should always... I learned this last week. You should always buy the rumor and sell the news.
All right.
There you go. That's Hormozy. Was that Hormozy?
No, it was actually Deccan Don.
Wow.
Dude's a pioneer.
So I am not going to bet against him.
No.
I'll bet against him if he's fighting
Mark Zuckerberg
because he looks like a fucking sock filled with custard. But
and you can't actually kill the lizard people, so Zuckerberg will win.
Exactly. Anyway, so sure. I'm not gonna, I'll bet against him in that fashion, but when it comes to fucking building empires, I'm not going to bet against him.
No.
Mm. Other news from X. Tom Brady bought a share, became a minority shareholder in Birmingham City Football Club.
Did you see the video?
No. Yeah,
there's like a wee promo video and he's pure in the city behind the club and blah blah blah. What the fuck is he doing in Birmingham?
Tom, point to Birmingham on a map.
I know. Okay, really? Is there a reason by Birmingham? Is it just because Birmingham in America?
Well, I was doing a wee bit of digging earlier on before you actually mentioned that to me, right? And from what I can kind of see from my deep research on X, it doesn't even sound right on Twitter. Is that he bought a minority stake, so a bit like Lewis Hamilton done with the Denver Broncos, right? But what this actually is him as a face for like a larger consortium. Do you know what I mean? So they're putting a celebrity face to the investment to kind of fugazi hide what's actually going on in the background.
Interesting.
So basically what happens, to say he bought like his stake is worth $9 million, yeah, right? They sold it to him for like $6 million. So he is a stakeholder or a shareholder or whatever, but it's all deals and he's going to be the face of it, from what I can gather. That might be incorrect.
So I thought it was kind of down the same route as like what
Ryan Reynolds
is doing with Wrexham and stuff like that, like random fucking team in Wales, like the fuck. Like,
did you watch Wrexham FC?
Oh, it's class.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's absolutely brilliant.
Is it?
But the difference between like that though is that Wrexham, small, Birmingham City,
quite big.
Very, very big.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you can make a Wrexham
work. Are they in the Premier League?
No, they're Championship. You can make a Wrexham work because you're starting off small, you're creating the dream, you're developing it there. So you try to already do that to something that is fucking is that huge.
Putting six mil into a club like Wrexham is going to make a huge impact, whereas putting 6 mil into Birmingham City, well, touch sides, yes, get you one player.
Yep.
Well, do we know the agenda? Is it just for money return? Is it to make it better? Do we know like why he's doing it? Do you know what I mean?
It's obviously to make money. Nobody gets into business to not make money.
But what I'm saying, Wrexham, obviously, they want to make money, but they just want to take a small town club because they're related to it. The other guy, Ryan Reynolds, I can't remember his name. He related to it because he was small town or the rest. It's related to Wrexham. And then wanted to make it something big to help the community. Mm-hmm. That was his full kind of like mission. But obviously, Birmingham don't need help.
Whoever's behind it, there would have been an investment opportunity in Birmingham for whatever reason. Owners want to sell or they've identified
that. Did they do well, Birmingham? Like, are they quite...
In and out of the Prem, but they're a bit of a... They're like Livingston. Like a bit in England. They're like, nah, no one cares about Livingston.
Yeah.
Villa's the big club.
True.
Aye, it's true. Aye, that's the Villa.
Like Villa.
Is Amanda not from Birmingham?
Amanda's from... Well, yeah. Aye, she got...
Everyone's chatting shit about Birmingham.
Aye. Can't do that. It's the mother of your child.
Birmingham.
I know, well, actually, she... I bring this up all the time. She's actually from Edinburgh, which isn't any better. But,
She's Scottish as fucking...
She's Scottish. On your driving licence, hen, it says Edinburgh.
True.
Yeah. She does
accent. Change it.
She sounds more Scottish every time I see her.
You'd rather the Birmingham accent than the Edinburgh accent.
I actually don't know what one I'd rather. They're both absolutely fucking terrible.
No, you'd rather Birmingham than
Birmingham.
Then I took
their
accent.
Birmingham.
I just wouldn't speak. She was muted.
McDonald's.
And you'll
be a McDonald's.
Yeah, you'll be driven like a knackered fridge. God.
Your mom listens to this.
I know she does.
Does she?
Aye.
I think my mum listens to this.
Sometimes
as well.
that's if you get that reference, you're a funny guy. What else are we here to talk about?
There was a couple of things. We'll get into the Fala thing first, right? Because I wanted to chat more about that. And then we'll get into the next bit after. But being a father, obviously, you're going to be. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to kind of ask you, like, what are your expectations? What are you looking forward to? And then what are you nervous, scared, anxious about?
I want an ROI on my investment time. She needs to be a professional athlete. I want to see a 3% return per annum.
That's fair. That's
no, fair. I've been thinking about this a lot, actually.
What are you looking forward to?
Do you know what I'm looking like? I'm really looking forward to being a girl dad. Right, in the build up, so for weeks and months, me and Manda were convinced it was a boy. Convinced loads of people get this, convinced it was a boy. When I was chatting to her belly, I was chatting to wee mini Ev, mm-hmm. who's going to play for Greenock Morton and then for Scotland and we'll win the World Cup, right? So I was chatting to wee mini Ev, right?
And, think how shit his life would be if he did play for Greenock Morton, also.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
And then when we done the gender reveal and it was a girl, I was shocked, right? But I was. Like, I didn't expect it. I was like, overwhelmed with happiness and stuff. And now, like, obviously, I've seen you with Hattie, and I was actually looking at my phone, right? Remember what went up to Starbucks one time when Hattie was like...
Oh, teeny tiny.
Teeny tiny. Yeah. And she was on my knee, and I was like, that was quite nice.
Yeah. Right?
But I'm really excited about being a girl dad. I'm really excited because a father-daughter relationship is really special for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm really, really looking forward to. I'm really buzzing about that. Mm-hmm. I'm scared.
Yeah, that was my follow-up.
I'm not scared about being a bad dad or anything, because I think I'm going to be a good dad.
I think you'd be a great dad. Mm-hmm.
Authoritarian, but fair.
Yeah.
You know? But fair.
Be a bit less selfish.
Yeah, you do your press-ups. I'm actually worried about bringing a child into this world now.
Yeah.
Honest to God.
Yeah.
Honest to God. I'm worried about woke culture. I'm worried about... fucking drugs and shit. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about all that sort of stuff.
The vaping at 10 years old.
And like all this, like, you can identify as a lamppost if you want. Oh, mm-hmm. Fucking great. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, and see folk want to do that, nae bother. Fucking go.
Everyone except my daughter.
I know. No, but I just like that. No, that's like, I'm absolutely fine with that. I've got no fucking friends. Like, but I'm just worried about. What the potential ramifications of growing up in
today's world
in 2023 plus?
Yeah, I was actually one of my clients has got a 16-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. So he's like in the mix of it now. Mm-hmm. And think about like that time; those times of your life are they're critical for shaping what your future is going to be. Essentially, mm-hmm. like those teen years. Like, mm-hmm. even though obviously you can. Bounce back from a lot of things but you tend to have the most influence put upon you at that age, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, you're either playing sports or you're not playing sports at those age. You're hanging out. You've got your friend group at that age, that your best friends that you spend most of your time with and all those sorts of things. And I think that, so he was chatting away to me and talking about stuff, and I was saying to him, I was like, look, I've got no idea like what you would do with a daughter at that age in this day and age now, with the Snapchats and the fucking this and the that and the vaping and the whatever. And it's like, how do you steer them?
How do you protect them?
How do you protect them without being that fucking overbearing?
Which then can end up pushing them the fucking way.
Exactly.
That fear about Snapchat, this is going to sound fucking, I don't know if it's going to sound weird or anything, right? But I had that fear walking the other day and the reality hit me, right? I'm going to have a daughter and... obviously, you know, with Snapchats and all these things that the kids are into, they're all sending scuddies to each other, right?
Well, it's true.
Right? It's true. It's true. They're all fucking doing it, yeah. Right? I would be mortified if that was my daughter and then something gets sent around. How do you...
stop that.
How do you stop that from happening?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can't, because they're autonomous that, beings. Right? Like, do you know what I mean? But man.
Not only that, right? We cracked a joke about the gender pay gap. Females do OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the way of the world, right?
I'd rather be poor.
Right?
Fucking.
My question is, right, how do I make sure that just doesn't happen? Do you know what I mean?
Mm. I thought you were going to make a joke there and say, how do I make sure I get a cut or something?
Aye, but if it does happen, how do I make sure I get a cut?
How do I monetize this?
Fuck no. I'd Jesus. Fucking chop her into bits and toss her into the fucking Clyde. How do you make, how does that not, that's my totally irrational.
Honestly,
because 99.9% chance that won't happen.
I hope my, I hope my daughter's ugly.
But
so I hope she's ugly.
But this is the thing, I'm like, how the fuck do you make sure that that doesn't fucking happen?
I don't have that.
That's
answers.
My question. That's the only, that's my fear. That's my biggest fear.
Do you know, my kind of thinking with this is, right, is see, like, our parents and all that, a lot of them aren't really clued up on social media and whatever, so our generation are...
has free reign.
A free reign of doing this, right? Whereas we are clued up on social media, the internet, how things work. Do you know what I mean?
We're no daft.
We're no daft.
It's going to be hard to pull the wool over our eyes.
Definitely. Uh-huh. Especially as well, the we had role models, right? People growing up, their role models are KSI, Logan Paul, Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast is not a bad one.
No. I know, but I'm just spouting off fucking people that I can think of. But like OnlyFans models, all of that. Obviously, they're, some of them have got a huge presence, and people, young girls, young boys, will follow them, and they do podcasts as well as OnlyFans, and they become influencers in their own right, obviously. And that is the type of people that obviously influencing young people. Like, I remember I was walking back for Tesco at my bit, go to Prime, they put loads of Prime out, grab one, I was like, fuck it.
Prime,
I like it, man. These wee kids must have been six. I'm shite with kids in ages. They must have looked about six, right? The three of them. The wee lassie, I love Logan Paul. But how do you even fucking know who Logan Paul is?
Oh, that's the audience.
Scary, man.
It's not scary, but...
No,
because that's the audience.
No, but the reason I'm saying it's scary is because, like, when you think about Logan Paul and think about all the stuff it's done, how is a six-year-old influenced by Logan Paul?
Like, you should be liking Peppa Pig.
Yes.
Hen.
So they were under 10. They were fucking wee kids, man. I just don't know. That was, to me, was like...
It's a bit
right,
weird,
okay, so
why? Aye.
But this is why. Because they're just getting shown the same stuff as we're getting probably fucking shown.
So, are you going to give Hattie a mobile phone and stuff? Like what's the...
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
What age?
That I don't have the exact answer to, but probably... I think I got a phone almost as early as I could.
Yeah, but
obviously phones are a lot.
You had a Nokia 3310, mate. You didn't have a laptop in your hand.
Wasn't to play Snake.
I forget what I said. No, you're right. I don't know, because I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I've not got anything figured out.
Future Jordan's problems.
Just fucking basically figuring things out as we go along, and you'll find that. You just figure shit out. You'll be sitting there in the hospital, and then the nurse will walk away, and you need to change the nappy, and you'll be like, I've never changed a nappy in my life. How did I do it? And then nurse help, and then they come back in, and then she shows you how to do it. You'll have that, and you're like, what the fuck?
I'm worrying about 15 years time problems, and she's not even out yet.
Yeah. God. You need to worry about your 15-day-old problems. The wet, jobby nappies. Constant.
Can't wait. I'm usually only good with dealing with my own. Like,
so. I do tell you this, right? And I say this as a man who has been through it, and even Danny can relate. If you have had a dog from a puppy, even though it's a sprint, right? The dog is a puppy, and it's like peeing and pooing phase indoors. It is a sprint. Doesn't last long. But that intense sprint of having a puppy is harder than a baby.
That's good advice. That was good, like, frame.
Yeah, and it is. And the people just say, yeah, is it fuck? Shut the fuck up, right? I'm telling you, right?
He's a da fuck's sake.
I'm telling you, for me, in my experience with Bear as a puppy, I was like, fucking hell, man, this is hard, we're running over. And one of the biggest things is because the baby's shit is somewhat, not all times, contained. They have explosions, many. They're sick, many. But small, simple, easy. Your dog, it's fucking diarrhea. Damn, boy.
He's had that all week, man.
Right? Dog gets diarrhea, or the dog's up all night barking, right? You can't just pick a wee dog up, give it some milk and rock it back to sleep.
You know what I'm thinking about.
Right? You can't just like, I don't, maybe Danny has done this with Tilly, to be fair.
Mate, every day.
Rock it back to sleep with some milk. Like,
every day.
Babies are easier to handle than puppies.
I went down to Tough Mudder in Wales once upon a time.
Wasn't it Wales, was it?
It was Wales.
Oh, was it Newcastle?
No, it was Wales.
No.
Bloody
it was
big
Wales.
Fish,
I've never been it was Wales. I've only done Wales and Scotland.
Jesus Christ.
So, so that's Danny.
That makes it worse.
Right, so what is it? What happened?
So I'm getting there. Aye. I'm getting there. So I was down to Tough Mudder, and I was like, look, asked Danny, can you look after Rosie for a wee while? My wee brother's looking after her. This is when Rosie's a puppy. Right, so she's still cage training and whatever. My brother, love him. Love you, Cam. You're a great guy.
Shout out, Cam.
Shout out, Cam. Is a bit of a man child sometimes when he was younger and stuff, maybe not 100% reliable, right? So
I feel like you're being super polite right now.
I'm super polite, right?
Just say what you think, Evan.
No, but he's really great as well. He's really great. But like, for example, he would say, oh yeah, look after the cats, the dog, whatever, but then like make plans to go drinking and then maybe leave a wee bit early and whatever. So anyway, right, so I was down in the north west of Wales doing Tough Mudder, and Cameron's looking after Rosie, and then there's a gap of time, and then Danny was to go in and look after her, right? And basically that was minimised for the least amount of time as possible because she had an upset tummy. Right, then Cameron basically leaves early, doesn't tell Danny, doesn't tell me, and then I get a phone call from Danny, right, like, oh, it's fucking, like, I've got to Rosie or whatever. Shit all over my walls. Oh, so Rosie's been in her cage, all over my walls, all over the cage. Danny's picked her up, right, taken her up the stairs, put his back out, he's covered in shit, trying to bath the dog. Everywhere. And then I need to leave literally straight away. We were camping in Wales and drive all the way back up to Glasgow. That was stressful. So you don't get that with a baby. Maybe you do, but
that
not
was,
in a cage.
That was the funniest thing ever. She was in the bath, right? Now, Rosie loves me. And I love her, right? So the excitement in this dog covered in shit, like, it was like she wasn't caring that she was covered in shit. It's fucking Auntie Danny. Like, so she's shaking and the shit has gone fucking everywhere. And she's in this bath and she's obviously excited to see me. She's blowing bubbles under the water and all that. It was so funny. And then obviously my back goes. So then I'm on the deck and she jumps out, still covered in shit, covered in water, like licking me and kissing me and over the top of me. And I was just lying there. I had to get Ryan Thompson, shout out Tomo, and my butt at the time to come and like fucking pick me up, take me. I had to go to hospital. That was that bad. And Rosie's just like so happy.
Just being just a lab, so just happy.
Being a dog.
That was a bit of a segue, but dogs and babies. Oh, like, man. That was
so funny.
Do you know what's funny?
Do the smell still haunts me? It was fucking honestly haunts me.
Do you know
what's
mad, right? That would happen to, see if you asked me to go look after your dog, I bet that wouldn't have happened. It's just because it was you.
If it's going to happen,
do you know what I mean? 100%. Just, you are, and I've said this before, you belong in like a Meet the Fockers film. Mm-hmm. Or you belong in like a, what's that other awkward sketch show comedy? Fuck knows. You just belong, the in-betweeners, you just belong in like, one of those.
Yeah, attracts the chaos.
Oh, in fact, I've just had a fucking flashback. Oh, so man. I was at this course on all last week, and it was in Hillington, and then I trained at Commando for a couple of days.
A course?
I'll tell you about it later. So I was at Commando training at the squat rack, and this guy's next to me. Brian, I think his name was. I'm trying to remember it. Shout out Brian. He works with Aidan Stott.
Oh well.
Aye. Anyway.
Shout out to Stotty.
And he was like, is your name Jordan? And I was like, aye. I was like, how? It's the fuck weird, how? He's like, I listen to your podcast, I love it. And I was like, fuck off. I went, fuck off. No way. I think that's the first or second time that's ever happened in person. Oh, now people will message us.
Yeah.
In person's mad, right? So he said that and I was like, fuck off, no way. Total random guy. Anyway. And he's like, see that Danny man, he's got some story. And then that story there just reminded me of that. So shout out you with your fucking stories.
Fuck.
I don't know if I thought we ran out of them, to be honest. We've done 50 of these episodes.
I know. No, there's loads. Actually, I'm gonna give somebody else a shout out as well, because we got a message from the expat PT.
He's back home.
Is he back home?
Yeah, he's back home.
And have you spoke to him?
Aye. I told you he messaged me.
Oh, he messaged you as well.
Aye.
He was listening to us out in Abu Dhabi. That's fucking class. Bang. Fucking cheers, mate.
International.
MDL's wants a shout out. 20 quid in the PayPal.
Take a tap off.
Take a tap off.
20 quid in the PayPal, we'll shout you out. Anyway, so the actual bit of, like, I don't know.
Substance
to the podcast was, there was a thing that I think we all seen from another coach, mm-hmm. funnily enough. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, anything that we do say that might occasionally sound 5% smart hasn't always came from us. In fact, 95% of the time it's came from someone else. But that thing that they said has also came from someone else. But anyway,
that's how the world works.
But I heard a thing, we all heard a thing, and it was by Mark Rhodes. Mm-hmm. Shout out Mark Rhodes, hard to kill program. I followed him for a while, and almost like anything that he says kind of relates to me quite well.
Leader vibes,
doing some cool things with his program. I believe he was in the same mentorship as you.
He was, yes.
For a good chunk of time. But he said, he made a podcast the other day, and he made a post about it called Doing Less, comma, Better. Mm-hmm. So let's expand on that a wee bit.
You start, baby.
Me start.
Rock the boat, bro.
I guess as soon as I heard it, it kind of like clicked with me, because I very much get in my head a lot when either things aren't going well, training wise, business wise, or life wise. I'm always like, right, what can I do more of? It's always more. Always, what can I do? Oh, more training, or more this, or more that. And then, and Katie calls me out on it all the time. And it was only, it's funny, she basically said his words, but I don't listen to her. I listen to everyone else.
No.
It's the same way, if I give her advice, she won't listen to me, but she'll listen to anyone else. It's just, that's how relationships work. You don't listen to your partner. You let someone else tell you the same thing your partner
said, and then your partner gets angry. Continue.
So the concept of doing less, comma, better struck me, because when I started to, or whenever I have, or whenever I start to apply that to my own life, you end up getting more back from it. Everybody's busy enough with the things they're doing, the things they're trying to achieve. More isn't always the answer. Do you know what I mean?
It's rarely the answer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which is strange. Which, again, I think we can get all caught up in the hustle porn fucking mindset of, like, fucking more calls, more messages, more posts, fucking more. And it's like, what if you just do what you're currently doing a little bit less, but make it 10 times better?
Mm-hmm. Increase the potency.
Yeah, so that was the other kind of section of it.
That was the thing.
Hash that out.
Yeah. Well, you just need, like, to relate it to fitness and stuff, which is easy for a lot of our listeners, like doing double classes and then a strength session isn't going to give you a greater return in your investment of time and effort than just doing your one programmed workout, but very, very well. Because mm-hmm. the thing is, as well, this is what I used to always have to, and you've probably had this, you used to have this quite a lot, you need to kind of pull people back. A lot of the ladies that I would work with would, like, maybe do like double or triple classes, right? So in a pure gym or something.
Triple the weight loss, bro.
Yeah. it's not how it works, right? And I would say to them, I was like, look, see if you can get through three classes, do you think you're working hard enough? Really? ? It was like,
I actually had it from one of my old clients, and he said, I asked for some feedback not that long ago. I did a big feedback thing, and he was following basically the same program I'm following, and because we had basically the same goals, and he was doing it, and I went to give some feedback, and he went, yeah, quite a lot of the time after some of the sessions I feel like there's a bit of like room in the tank. I was like, I didn't actually reply to him, and I feel like I should have, because he wasn't a client at that point, so I thought, mm-hmm. you know what, fuck you. No, I'm joking. but then I was kind of like, like, how? Like, if I'm asking you to do fucking a lift, some accessories, and a fucking, like, 8-minute AMRAP, but like, fucking this, that, and the next thing, I was like, you should be pretty fucking buried after it. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you really should be. And if you're not, you're not doing it hard enough.
Yeah, people inherently don't work hard enough.
So I think it's who you train with. So I started training with Jord, started training with just everybody else on about the kind of in base. I'm like, fucking hell, I wasn't working hard enough. Mm. I think I'd done a workout with Jord one time. I was like, I'm fucking tired. It was good, innit? Jordan's like, right, I'm going to go do my second workout now. And I was like,
more is not always better.
But no, but it was not. It was like
it was like
a warm up. It was like, but
you mean this isn't the workout?
No. He flew through it, but aye. He's just fit. But I'm thinking, I don't even know really my point here. But yeah, same thing.
I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying.
But yeah, I guess increase the potency is right, and it's like, again, CrossFitters can get wrapped up in this world way too much where they're doing, I mean, I'm like literally doing it now with the double session thing and the whatever, but because I'm doing a challenge or whatever, which ends 2 days.
Damn.
We can chat. We can chat about, I want your takeaways for the next episode.
Oh, we can do it next episode when I'm done because I've technically not finished it.
I'm not going to say it's fluent. It feels like it's been going for fucking ever.
It's been nearly exactly 75 days.
Nah, trust me, it's definitely dragging a wee bit now, but we can go over it next week.
Yeah.
But I guess the point I'm trying to make is that, like, one of CrossFit's main tenets, so to speak, is intensity. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of one of the main tenets. It's mechanics, consistency, intensity, and that's the kind of pyramid it follows. So intensity is at the top. So granted, if you have the mechanics sorted, so you can move well without injuring yourself or hurting yourself, you can do that consistently. Mm-hmm. The next part of that is intensity. So if you've got those other two things dialed and you've got those other two things nailed, intensity is at the top of their pyramid because they seem it's the last thing that you need, but it's one of the most important things as well. Mm-hmm. within the kind of top three. And you're right, you can do, I've done 2 minute workouts, a workout that's took me 2 minutes that it's taken me 2 days to recover from, and I gained more from that 2 minute workout than you did from your double session and fucking 4 hours of training. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In terms of the desired response, which is to like increase your fitness, increase your intensity, increase your output, 1,000,000%. Do you know what I mean? And the thing is, it's like, you can't do that every day. Granted, there is going to be days where the intensity has to be sky high, and there's going to be days where the intensity is somewhat in the medium or low. But for the most part, like, and I've fallen guilty to it as well, where I'll do a certain workout and it'll almost be a bit of a reality check to be like, yeah, past couple of weeks I've maybe not been pushing it as hard because in 2 minutes I can achieve this, whereas in 40 minutes I'm maybe like, oh, I'm actually fine after that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, defos.
What's your takes on it, Nathaniel?
I spoke about it the other day. We spoke about it the other day. This is how we kind of came to that quote, wasn't it? We were talking about business. Well, we're talking about, because we always get together like, how can we do more? How can we do better, right? And then it was just, I think I'd maybe said like, maybe what we shouldn't be looking for, what more can we do? Was it no? I think I was just saying like, maybe start focus on the things that we're already doing instead of trying to add things. And then you brought up the quote and says, Mark had quoted it perfectly. And that, I think that is just it, man. Like, it's, I think you can always look to think, wait, what else should I maybe add another exercise in? I get that a lot of people. I think I could add another couple of exercises in. I'm like, okay, why? And it's like, and it just goes back to like, even a single fucking set of an exercise you could use as like an analogy. Make sure you do it really, really fucking well. The 10 reps, do them really well. Mm-hmm. Put all your effort into getting the 10 reps perfect. Aye. Before you then look at changing your program or adding another exercise in.
Can I add some abs in?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, can I get a wee finisher in there?
Aye.
In fact, one of my clients who has actually got another PT as well, bit of a long story, but they're like, aye, after those sessions, I'm fucked after those sessions. And I'm like, aye, like, oh, you just kind of do like finisher type stuff? They say, aye, man, like fucking feel class after it. And I'm like, remember, we've all been guilty of like at the end of your session, let's do this finisher, right. 10 minutes left. Right. This finisher has to fuck you up. Right. Whereas like what actually has been creating the adaptation is like the 50 minutes beforehand, not the 10 minutes at the end that just gets you hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
Getting hot and sweaty is like...
makes you feel good.
You know what I mean? Makes you feel good, but like, is it getting you any better, faster, fitter, stronger, whatever, like whatever your goal is. And I found it quite funny because... like, even though those things are the feel-good bits, what necessarily isn't the feel-good bits are the bits that hurt, the bits that are, fucking exhausting to do, like lifting heavy shit, doing long bouts of fucking cardio, all those boring type things, often give you the better reward than the fucking, like, here's the wee finisher.
Yeah,
oh, totally. People don't want to do the unsexy stuff.
Yeah.
No.
They want the double backflip deadlift.
Medicine
finisher.
Ball slam against
Med
the wall.
Med ball, Bosu ball twister.
Yeah.
I done them yesterday.
That was it. I actually shared that thing. I keep getting it because I fucking shared it. But you know how those fucking donuts that do the...
hit you with a Swiss ball?
Nah, the synchro fucking workouts. The pure
nothing
playground
gives
shit.
Me, nothing gives me the bigger ick.
Aye.
Than...
they're like that. So they go like this. Mm-hmm. sick core workout point of their abs, and then it's like that fucking an instrumental of like Dr. Dre, and they're like,
yeah. Yeah,
and they're doing it at the same time, and then they're doing shit like passing a ball between their legs and like passing it to each other and doing like synchro fucking like lunges and stuff. They and I'm like, you don't do those workouts.
Made up 10 minutes for the fucking.
You don't do those workouts. What you do is SARMs, testosterone replacement, right, and fucking incline dumbbell bench press and bicep.
All day.
You don't do these. So much SARMs. You don't do them. But you're then, fucking lying.
It's because they're like, I can't post another video. Dumbbell incline bench press, it's not going to get any fucking
so they make up it's literally make they're up. Dancing it's literally a dance that's what they're doing, and I find it mad that CrossFit can get stick for that, but then people can do these be fucking stupid lunge jumps with a 1 kilo medicine ball and like putting it between your legs, and that's not deemed as stupid.
Do you know what's annoying?
I don't get it.
Do you know what is annoying though?
I don't fucking get it
is that is the thing that the general public like consume.
Oh fuck, Katie's mum actually. I throw her under the bus.
Did you go in the house and she's like, "I'm a medicine
No,
ball?
She sent me a fucking video being like, "Oh, I think we found one of these classes in Glasgow. I want to give it a go." Shit, you know, I think it's called Bungee Fit or something like that. Paul was laughing. So basically, there's a bungee cord attached to the ceiling and attached to the back, and then they just all run about the room. Attached to this fucking bungee cord, right? And I'm like, she's like, I think we might do it. And I'm like, go out a walk.
Literally,
just
move.
Go out a walk. Move. Do you know what I mean? Don't go at that bullshit. And then the fucking instructor's like heavy extra, and they're fucking like, I'm like, what the fuck?
Do you know what gets me as well? See, like American spin classes.
Did you see the spin instructor? His fucking feet are...
No, I've not seen it. The instructor's like at the front of the class. He's like, whoa, like all that shit. No. They're fucking like...
They're all dead.
Oh, fucking not for me, man.
Seeing people share it.
Ick.
Do you know what's annoying me now for talking about X? See Barbie, right? Now, I understand Barbie came out. Woo. Right? We knew pink was no going to be the colour everybody was going to wear, right? But going to stop... making yourself into a Barbie with a fucking app, right, and then posting it or changing your display picture. I unfollowed at least 10 people.
I was just about to say, who do you follow?
In the last two days, right, she'd Barbified, Kenified, I think she called it, her boyfriend, right, and posted it on her grid and was like, everyone needs a Ken with a wee emoji, right, and posted her boyfriend on her grid as Ken, and I unfollowed her instantly.
So I hate you.
Stop doing stuff like that, people. Grow up. Stop Kenifying and Barbifying yourself. Fucking hell. What world do we live in the new man? Wear pink all you want, but calm down.
And on that note,
yeah.
That was episode 51 of the No Rit podcast. Make sure you do the things. Pay the man, like, share, subscribe.
Don't be a hoe.
Don't be a hoe. Share the show.
Ciao.
Let's go.
Did you mean let's go?